Hi, this is Patrick Adams, and you're listening to Patrick Adams Podcast number 11, recorded February 3rd, 2007. When I interview new artists, the most important question that I ask is, why do you want to be a singer? As might be expected, the answers cover the entire spectrum from lifelong dream fulfillment to the whimsical, I don't know. The most common responses usually involve dreams of fortune or fame. It is at this point that I make my position perfectly clear. I cannot help you. The only thing I can promise you is my best effort in providing good commercial music and hard work. And since good music and hard work are not enough to ensure success today, I'm not your man. If you want to learn how to be a sincere entertainer, to perform or record in a way that will touch people, put a smile on someone's face, make them dance, or reminisce about life and love, that I can and will do. For me, the business of entertainment is its own reward. And if you excel as an entertainer, the rest will come. Entertainment may bring financial reward, but this is not the main goal. For me, entertainment is closer to being a doctor, a minister, or a nurse. You do from the heart and the soul. You are naturally gifted and compelled to share with others the emotional wealth that you receive from the universe. It is a spiritual experience and a blessing. Many are called, but few are chosen. In your heart, you know that at the drop of a hat, you are able, willing, and ready to do what you do. You entertain. At the other extreme, you have those emotionally disturbed individuals who seek fortune and fame under the guise of being entertainers. Stop and think for one moment about some of the beautiful people who you call entertainers. Now, I'm not talking about the ones who have been singing and dancing from the day they learned how to walk. I'm talking about women whose only claim to fame is sucking a dick on the internet, or guys who have learned to keep their faces in all the right places while showing no creditable talent. In other professions, say boxing, how many would dare climb into the ring without first mastering the simple basics of the art of pugilism? How many would dare sit in the cockpit of a Boeing 777 without learning how to take off, navigate, or fly a jet plane? The late Richard Pryor once joked, "Give a brother a rope and he thinks he's a cowboy." Well, this is just what's going on right now. In music, everyone with a $200 computer, a microphone, and a mixtape is ready to proclaim themselves to be a producer. They're CEO of their entertainment empire, complete with future lines of jeans, sneakers, cologne, and perfume, as if someone would want to smell like them. To me, it all stinks, and the sooner we get back to basics, the better we all will be for it. Music is a great hobby. So is stamp collecting. If you want to call yourself a certain thing, then take the time to learn how it's done. Otherwise, like the inexperienced 17-year-old self-taught driver with no license, you're headed for a major fender bender, and God forbid, a serious collision with reality. Until you get your shit together, leave it to the professionals, if you can find one. Push, push in the bush. In the summer of 1977, I remember being on the highway and hearing Shake Your Booty for the first time. I turned to my girlfriend and I said, "I don't believe they got away with that." Here we are, way past the dawning of the Aquarian Age and Woodstock and free love. Yet it seemed that a big taboo was being broken. The line had been crossed. We songwriters still believed that suggestive lyric, but not explicit lyric, was the order of the day. We spent endless hours crafting new ways of alluding to sex without crossing that magic line. Suddenly, the pressure was on to test for a new magic line. Between Deep Throat in the movies and George Collins' 7 Words You Can't Say on Television, the world was ready for the test. Now, I did not sit down and invent the phrase push, push in the bush in a moment of meditative genius. I was in the recording studio looking for a chant to put on the chorus of this last hot track for the music album, and I was thinking out loud of my older brother and his friends. Sometimes on a Friday night, they would chant, to the bush, to the bush. This was a reference to a dance club that they frequented. One of the background singers jokingly said push because it rhymed. Now came the moment of eureka. I left the room for a moment of solitude. For about 10 minutes, I struggled over the consequences of what I was about to do. I've never been about just getting the dollar. I immediately recognized that once I let this genie out of the bottle, there would be no turning back. As I mentioned elsewhere, this album was an important release for me. I had felt blocked for years and kind of frustrated. Why not? I felt that as long as the song was just an album cut, it would be all right. Another aspect of the song is that it is actually a song about mutual respect and desire. I want to do the things you want to do too. The first time I played the album for everyone at Prelude Records, every face in the room was red with embarrassment. While he fanned his face, Marv Schlachter, the president of Prelude, yelled, "Patrick, I can't put that out." Everybody in the office had the same opinion. The record was really hot, maybe just a little too hot. After some serious discussion, it was decided that it would be included in the album, but not promoted. Now, there's an old saying in the record business, you can't keep a hit record down. Over the decades of recorded music, many hits found their audience through jukebox or turntable play. Word of mouth has sold millions of records. Well, this is one of those records, and I paid little or no attention when it was released. I was already in the studio with Herbie Mann and Narda Michael Walden. So one morning, Marv called me and asked me if I'd come around the corner to his office. When I arrived, he began to fill me in on the strange phenomenon that was happening across the country. In the Midwest, suddenly a station like WIFE, W-I-F-E Radio, which was a conservative pop station, was playing Push, Push in the Bush. About 3 weeks later, the cover story on Billboard magazine, the music industry Bible, was about 600 radio stations banning some naughty record called Push, Push in the Bush. These days, when I hear the unbridled, undisciplined rant and rave of hip-hop lyrics, I wonder just what was my contribution to the madness. I've heard numerous opinions from the varied likes of Minister Farrakhan to Gladys Knight, and just a girl next door who met her husband in a disco dancing to Push. I hope it has brought no harm to anyone. It was made in fun and meant to be enjoyed in that spirit. Till next time, this is Patrick Adams.